fighting for America.
Yeah, cop just got shot.
I saw him. He got shot in the face.
Yeah, he got shot. I saw that. Laid on the ground. I didn't get him, but I saw him. They taking cover. It was none of the protesters. It was at least 500 feet up Tiffin. We didn't see it.
Fighting for Idaho.
Seriousness, the violence that took place, it's really sad and really shocking, and we hope to never hear of something like this again. You know, I mean, this is really just terrible, terrible.
Fighting for you.
How much traffic control does the city of Eagle need, for crying out loud? Everybody understands green light, red light.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
He's a five-year-old.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. We're joined by our old friend, Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue, with us.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for having me. It's been a few months. Appreciate you being there for me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about law enforcement. Obviously, what's going on nationwide in Ferguson, in New York. You're tied in with your fellow brothers and sisters in law enforcement. How is that impacting how you police in Canyon County, sir?
You know, it's of course, everyone is concerned about, really across the nation, especially law enforcement, about what's going on and the negativity, of course, toward law enforcement. And out here, we certainly have what we believe to be a better relationship with our constituents, with the people we serve, the public, and praise God for that, that we do have that kind of relationship. And, you know, it doesn't really change a lot how we work out here. We do a lot of community policing. All of our local agencies do the same thing as we do. We reach out to the communities. We're very involved and interact with all the community partners and business people and just, of course, schools with SRO programs. I think that's really the key, is making sure we are involved with the communities and be involved with the public to let them know that we are there to serve them and that we're here for public safety. And, you know, in terms of my staff, we're very careful about or continue to make sure we treat people with respect and dignity, and they're all human beings, and we're not the judge and jury. You know, we're out there to enforce the law when we need to and keep the community safe.
How dangerous is being a police officer these days, being a sheriff?
Well, being the sheriff, I don't think is as dangerous as what I used to do. I guess in different ways it is, but I think it's very dangerous for all police officers today, law enforcement officers. There's just so many things. Obviously, the internet opens up all kinds of different aspects of threats, because there's so much access to learning how to do bad things, you know, in terms of if you're making bombs or getting access to illegal weapons and things of that nature. And then, you know, we see across the country the ambushes that are taking place against police officers. That's really a serious threat, in my opinion. And, you know, when an officer, deputy or police officer pulls over a car or comes up on a car, for instance, every single case is different, and you have to be really on edge every time you walk out there, because you don't know what you're facing. And it could be that you're thinking, well, this person's broke down, I'm going to go up and give them assistance and get help on the way. And that could be that call where this is a felon who's running from the law or has committed a heinous crime and thinks, oh, the cops have got me, this is it. And then the guns come out and things happen. So you just never really know. And, of course, not just in stopping cars or anything else. That's in any situation. We're called to a house, a domestic violence, or a potential burglary in progress or anything. So it's, you know, law enforcement are on pins and needles a little bit these days, because I think just the heightened sense of awareness and more people means more bad things can happen. Quite frankly, humans have a strange way of trying to get along. So.
Right. This show is an example of that. Pat from Milton, do you have a question?
Not a question. I applaud them. I understand. I know how difficult it is to walk up to something in the middle of the night, but it doesn't help when your leadership, when the administration, people in charge, people that really represent our society, are putting you down all the time. I mean, Eric Holder and Obama, they've really done a number on getting people to turn, to have this anger, unnecessary anger towards police, because it's so misinformation. And it really, if they just they'd stand up and say, look, they're people. They're in your community. They're part of your family. They're part of your area. They're not the bad guys here. They're just you know, we all love an officer when they come to help and rescue us, but we don't love an officer when we get pulled over for speeding ticket.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they're there to support. They live in your I've got a son-in-law who's a Napa City cop. I've got a brother in the Knights of Columbus that's a detective for Boise Police. I mean, I love these guys, and they're just rooting tooting Bronco fans just like anybody else, and have a beer on a weekend and stuff like that. And they're in our neighborhoods, and yet you guys walk into so many unknown situations, but it really makes it worse when people like Obama and Eric Holder play it down, put it down.
Okay, is there a question here?
No.
Okay, you're making a political statement.
I was.
Now, the sheriff is a non-political person. We're here to talk about Canyon County issues, and you're bashing
but
Obama.
I was.
And we're talking about you having beers.
I, as a citizen, understand.
And Rachel, this is why I cut him off. But I'm sorry. Go ahead. Back to you and the beers and the cops.
I was just
and all good Bronco fans.
As a constituent,
yes, sir.
I understand that things are escalated when people who are in charge and responsible don't.
I think we caught that the first time back.
Yeah, but you just like argue with me.
Yes, that's how I show my affection.
You know, there's some good points to what he said. I'm sifting through them.
Oh, no, great. Now you're going with Pat. Rachel,
I'm sifting through them, but I'm trying to categorize them real quickly. But
yes, well, yes, Obama. Good guys, Knights of Columbus, yes.
The beer, perhaps.
Yes,
I don't
the beer,
know.
Yes.
You know, and I appreciate Pat's comments on supporting officers, and they are part of your community. As we've talked, Kevin, many times, and I know you're a Christian guy too, and it's about being called to service. You know, these men and women truly are called to service. Not everyone is in law enforcement. There's a reason for that. I strongly believe, as always, that I've been called to that service and proud to be here and proud to be the sheriff and lead the troops. And quite frankly, that's what I am. I'm just the guy at the top. Everybody else supports that mission and supports me. But it's about being out there and taking care of people. These are just regular people. They've just been called to a different duty.
And we'll get another political statement here from Pat in a second at 580KIDO. What can we do, to Pat's point about everybody, you know, loves police officers until they get a ticket? And it always amazes me that, and both of you know my parents, that, mm-hmm. you know, I was taught the meaning of respect, but it always amazes me when you're pulled over and somebody, like, gives the officer a hard time. I mean, they're the decider, and for me, it's yes, officer, no, officer. What could we do to, you know, assure the officer, you know, to de-escalate anything, you know? Mm-hmm. Are there any tips?
Yeah, there are, actually. It is. I think Pat probably brings it up, and just like you did, too. It's about that respect. I mean, we pay men and women in law enforcement because they are the people out there enforcing the law that we as a society have created, you know, the legislature, Congress, whatever you want to say, but those laws are out there. So when that officer pulls you over, it's very important to... we don't like people moving around in the car. It makes us nervous. Are they going for a gun? Are they going for a knife? What are they doing? So the first thing is, you know, realize that this is that officer's job. It's just like you here at the radio station or me at my office. It's their job. It's their duty. So when they come up on that car, they don't know who you are. They don't know if you've had a really bad day at work or a really bad morning, or you argued with your husband or you argued with your wife or the kids were late for school. Right. I mean, that's normal stuff that happens to people. And so when that officer walks up, he doesn't know any of that. He just knows that for whatever reason, he had to pull this car over. Hands on the steering wheel. We like to see people's hands. We don't want to see the hands down by the console. We don't want to see them under the seat. We don't want to see them in your pockets. If you've got a cigarette, get rid of it. You know what I'm saying? Because everything that we see, the officer has to take all that in a split seconds to see what the situation is that he's walking into. And then it's about officers, they're a problem, and he'll first thing they're going to say is, you know, do you know why I pulled you over? Or they're going to say, can I see your driver's and license and registration, proof of insurance? It's about being compliant and being respectful, and that is the de-escalation, right? You know, he's pulled me over. I'm probably going to get a ticket. I'm so mad. I don't have $300. Whatever it is.
Sure.
But you've got to set that aside and realize this person is just doing their job. And then tell him, this is why I'm having a bad day. They're going to listen to you. They don't just walk off. They're going to listen to you, and they're going to be compassionate to what you're going through. Because guess what? They've had those same days themselves.
You know, and this isn't any comparison, but I do event security at the Idaho Center, mm-hmm. and we do bag check for mm-hmm. weapons and alcohol because, you know, we don't want to bring it in. And people act like they're being so put out
yeah.
for something they know clearly says, don't bring any outside food or drink, any weapons or anything like that. And yet, when you ask them to check their bag or something like that, it's like, oh my God, this is just, it's like, dude, it's for your safety.
Yeah, for the safety of everyone.
It's for the safety of everyone, but we care about your safety mm-hmm. as well as anybody else. Mm-hmm. And so I think you'd be just as grateful that I caught someone bringing in a knife or, mm-hmm. or a gun and that's sitting next to you.
There's no question. I think that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point that we are. It is for the people's safety. There's a policy obviously in place at that establishment and many others to protect everyone, make sure everyone has a good time while they're there. They enjoy themselves. It's entertainment, and we don't want those things. And so that's a conscious effort. If I'm going to go to the Idaho Center and they're going to check my bag, I should know that going in. It shouldn't be a surprise when I get there. But there again, think about that same on the other side of that, the person who's coming with their purse or their bag, they're excited to be there, they want to get in, they've had a hard day or a long week, and they want to get in there and see their friends. So a little bit of that compassion, too, goes from the other side as well, that, you know what, these people just want to get in here and have a good time, and they're in a hurry, maybe they're late, they didn't get off work early enough. So it's about people understanding that life is life. it's kind of crazy at times, we just got to slow down.
Indeed, Pat, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. That's why I smile at
you. And thank you for going over your frisking techniques with us. The listener benefits are just overwhelming, but we do appreciate you. You
know, Kevin, that. I'd frisk you anytime.
I'm going to step out and get some coffee. Just
earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue with us, and one of the issues that has made national headlines is the shooting at Jackson's. Certainly, your staff, working with other law enforcement agencies, continue to search for these two suspects. Any latest news that you can share with us, sir?
Well, you know, we continue to look at all the leads pouring in, and we still thankfully do have the public's help in providing us with additional fresh leads. And we're still running down some of the stuff that we've already got. I wish I could sit here and tell you that we've got it all under control and got it wrapped up. We do not. We do not have that situation resolved yet. And that's very troubling to me as the sheriff. It's very troubling to our staff, the men and women who are putting in, you know, at times around the clock work on this. And it's very troubling really to the public, because you certainly have two people out there who have certainly shown a propensity for a heinous crime, for violence, and we don't have them in custody. So that's on our minds 24/7 right now, and has been since the event. We put in literally thousands of man hours, and want to give a shout out to all of our fellow agencies who have helped us out on this. And there's so many, they're too numerous to mention, but we've certainly had a lot of support from other local law enforcement agencies and federal agencies that have jumped right in there to help us, and we greatly appreciate it. It's a situation where we're going to continue to follow up on leads. I think at some point people will be talking, you know, that's kind of what you wait for. You want that one little tip or that one little lead that corroborates another part of your investigation, and hopefully that will come about, you know, something that's just that one little break that we just haven't got yet. But that's why we keep putting it out to the public and keep looking at things in a different fashion. And somebody saw something, somebody knows somebody, and, you know, we're very hopeful and confident that information will surface eventually. Obviously, we'd rather sooner or later. I know the public would rather have it sooner than later, and, of course, the family
sure.
of the victim would rather have it sooner.
Let's get back to the issue of the Canyon County Jail. Is that the number one issue in the county? We've talked about losing great law enforcement officers. We understand that there's not a money tree. What is, and we've talked about your vision with the standards versus that of the county commissioners. What's the number one issue in Canyon County?
Well, you're right. The number one exposed liability issue in the county is the county jail. And that's repeated many times by our prosecuting attorney, Brian Taylor, who speaks out to all the counties, all the cities, rather, within the county. And that's his opening statement about some of the greatest concerns. Exposed liability is that particular building. You know, it was never designed properly, in our opinion. It's certainly not functionally proper, in our opinion, and we have to operate it. That is from the exposed liability. The second issue in the county, and that goes for all county employees, is wages. You know, we're not competitive with other counties. We're not competitive with our within cities within the county from a law enforcement perspective, and really it's for all of our county employees. There's over 700 employees, and the first thing that you know, outside of for us in law enforcement, we say that the first thing that the role of any government is public safety. That has to be the number one role. Otherwise, you have chaos. Secondly, though, you have to take care of the people who run that infrastructure, and that's your people. That's the only thing we produce in as employers out there is people. And so we have to invest in the people, and that simply hasn't been done over the last literally decades. And we're now trying to push the commission and others to, and I think they're listening. I think they are finally listening to say, you know what, we are not competitive. We have to do a market salary analysis. We're looking at hiring an outside consultant to do so, to show the discrepancies and deficiencies in our salary bases so that we can keep good people. We hire good people. We just sure. can't keep them because they go off to someone else who's paying them more money.
How is the? What is the challenge? I mean, you have two great cities and many more in Canyon County, but two significant ones when we're talking population in the Gem State, mm-hmm. Nampa and Caldwell. How is that as far as, you know, competing for officers and competing for funds?
It's incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult. Very simple math. You know, it's not real complex. As you know, I mean, it takes us about 4 months to hire a person. We may get 125 applicants, but we may hire six of those because of background checks, polygraph, a thorough testing process and vetting process and keeping that standard of law enforcement. So once we get them, and then we hire them, then we're into them for 23 weeks of training, including an academy over at Meridian at a post academy. Then we, after 23 weeks, we can finally be on their own. That's just the detention officer, right? And patrol is similar to that. But so once we get them, well, when they look across the street or they look to Nampa or Caldwell or Middleton or other places and they're paying more money, they're like, why am I here? I can make more money. I can still be in law enforcement, do the work that I love, that I'm called to do. Go to Boise, go to Meridian, go to any of those cities and counties. And so we really do get some great people, but we have been and we continue to be the training ground, and that is absolutely the wrong way to run government. You can't be that.
We go to the phones. We go to Walt in Napa for Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue at 580KIDO. Hello, Walt.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Great.
I have a question for your guest, and something's been kind of disturbing me for quite a while. Is the militarization of the police departments, this giving them all free military gear, and I get the impression they're being bribed with some of this stuff. And I understand Obama's maybe thinking about offering cash prizes if you take his stuff.
Well,
so I'm just wondering how the sheriff feels about this.
Well, thank you, Walt. I haven't heard the cash prize thing, and I chuckled at that. I haven't heard it. From militarization standpoints, I think you're talking about the 1033 program. And just from my perspective and for your knowledge, I mean, we get very little through that program. We do take advantage of it for things like telescopic equipment for rifles. We do some clothing. We don't do very much. We don't get very much through that program. I know other agencies throughout have done like the MRAPs, if you will, the heavily armed equipment, motorized equipment. We don't do that in my office. We do take advantage, like I say, of some of the clothing, extra clothing aspects, and that surplus, things like that. And of course, like I say, the optics for firearms. That they're very expensive, but it's very limited, and I don't look at it from a militarization standpoint. As you know, Walt, we're kind of a paramilitary organization. Any law enforcement organization is, just because of our structure and command structure. But
I understand that, but mm-hmm. My question comes up. I'm presuming, I'm making an estimate,
sure.
a guess, but a number of your people. Our various police departments, et cetera, are ex-military, and they're used to having this stuff, and they think nothing of using it.
Well, let me jump in here for a second here, Walt. So you have no MRAPs or anything?
No.
And you have Ada County that has an armored vehicle. You have Nampa that has a legitimate MRAP. But just to make sure everybody knows the differences, Canyon County does not.
Canyon County Sheriff's Office does not. And there's a difference, too, between an MRAP and a bear. Bearcat, I can't
think. Bear crawl. All right, Walt, thank you for the call. Let's go to Terry in Napa for Sheriff Donahue at 580KIDO. Hello, Terry.
Hello, boss. Hey, Sheriff Donahue, I just want to let you know that there are people over here in Canyon County that support you 100% on your new jail. We definitely need it. I've luckily never seen the inside of your jail, but I do have some relatives that have for, you know, minor DUIs and stuff like that.
Sure.
But I agree 100% with you. We need a new jail, and that is the one thing this county needs more than anything else is new jail to house the criminal element, so to speak.
Well, thank you for that comment, and I agree with you. And that there is a difference now that you've said that. I mean, there's a difference between a new jail and expanding the jail that we have, and that I'm not in favor of expanding the jail that we have for a number of reasons. Staffing limitations, attorney-client visit limitations, things that are constitutionally we have to provide for the inmate. And so also the ACLU, we're, as you know, we've been under that consent decree for 5 years. I'd really like to get out from underneath that for the burden of the taxpayer. I think down the road we will build a new jail. We certainly have the land to do so out on Pond Lane, 2026. We have 24 acres out there. I think that's the long-term vision of the county needs to be, how do we protect society? How do we, as you said, take the criminal element off the street and give them a timeout, if you will, and protect them? And we have to be visionary in looking at the approach of what's the long-term plan. We got to look 25, 30, 40 years down the road. That's our job as government, is to provide, you know, when we leave office, what's going to be, what are we going to leave behind? And so we have to be far more visionary in our approach. So I think it is the number one exposed liability to the county from a lawsuit standpoint is that jail and what comes with it. And probably in most counties that is a exposed liability, but in ours it's just heightened by the decrepitness of that building.
Terry, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Sheriff Donahue, as always, we appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate
always
it.
Always a good time, huh?
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Tell your mom and dad hi.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kevin Miller, on the road as he is at Boise State University and taking a course, a look at education, and I guess we're going to the higher education. What a time to be at Boise State. You got the women, as far as sports go, you got the women who have advanced to the NCAA tournament. You have the men who, they're in a play-in game, and I want to discuss that with Kevin. Is a play-in game really being in the NCAA tournament, or does that happen if you win that game? And then the men's hockey team, which is a club sport, but they are headed to the Nationals. So lots of things going on at the BSU campus. You have softball playing right now. And Kevin going to be exploring more into what's happening on campus as far as education goes. And how is Boise State trying to keep up with that reputation as earned on the field in the classroom and what's happening there. So they're getting all set up this morning as they're headed into Boise State University. So looking forward to talking to Kevin as we go throughout today about Boise State. So if you've had questions during the open segments, you're welcome to call Kevin and ask him what you would like to know about Boise State, and we'll see if we can get those all figured out. But the Manly Man segment, I hear Kevin now, what? I think, getting his headphones on and ready to go. Hello, Kevin. Are you there?
Yeah, apparently we're having some problems and I couldn't get in.
Oh, was that the issue? Well, that's all right. I've been talking about for a day to be at Boise State University. This is a great day sports-wise. You have the women who have gone to the NCAA basketball tournament. You have the men's hockey team at club sport going to the Nationals, so they're skating very well. And then my question is this. I think we had this conversation last year.
Right.
If you're in an NCAA play-in game, are you really in the NCAA playoffs yet, or would that happen if you win Wednesday night?
Well, first four in, and I believe,
the NCAA tournament? I don't know. It's a play-in game, isn't it?
It is a play-in game. They say the first four in, Dave Burnett.
So they're not in yet.
Well, you travel there, and of course, then you play Wednesday, then you play Friday, and then you play Sunday if you're so lucky. Of course, the winner of the Dayton Boise State gets Providence out of, I guess it's the Big East now.
Is it still the Big East?
Well, the Big East broke away for basketball, so it's not the American Athletic Conference. Okay. Sorry about that. The doors were locked.
That's all right. No, I Ray gave me a heads up. Producer Ray gave me a heads up and said, Kevin's on his way in. Just hang in there for a few minutes. So I'm good with that.
I see. Okay.
I mean, it happens to me all the time. My wife locks me out of the house all the time.
So it was interesting, though, the coverage the basketball team gets compared to the football team. You had all three TV stations. You didn't have anything on the radio, which I was shocked about because, look, it is an honor. Two times in the last 3 years, play-in game or not. Wyoming winning the Mountain West. I did see you watch that game. I did watch that game as well. And Wyoming then beating San Diego State, it could have gone the other way.
You saw me watch that game. What?
I knew you watched
it. Are you spying on me?
No. Just monitoring your Facebook posts. So.
Oh, okay.
So Wyoming, kind of put a wrench in that. But I don't know. You wonder, and I know you've told me many times that basketball used to be the big thing here, but can they ever compete? And maybe perhaps if they had, if they had won the Mountain West, would they be a legitimate 10 seed or a 7 seed? I mean, what's the highest San Diego State has ever been? I guess they were 4th in the country at one time, so they got, a 5 seed maybe?
Yeah, I think, honestly, had they won the Mountain West, they probably would have been a 7th seed. But as it is, they're trying to play in to be an 11th seed.
Yeah, you play in to be an 11th seed.
I mean, how would you like, though, to be paired up to be taking on Kentucky?
Well, or to the fact that you have to play Dayton in Dayton.
Yeah, and is Dayton one of the cities?
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Well, they always have the play-in game there in Dayton.
Oh, but that's not where one of the first, the big Thursday games are at. They're not in Dayton.
No, the play-in game is Tuesday and Wednesday. So they're Wednesday in Dayton.
Okay. So if they were to win Wednesday,
then they get to get one to the tournament.
On Friday. Would they play Friday?
Then? They would play Friday and Sunday, yeah.
So it gives them a day of travel. So I still contend the play-in game. You're not really in the tournament yet.
My goodness.
I know. Kind of harsh. A little bit harsh, but you're really not. You're playing to get into the big tournament.
Right. You're still, it's still expensive. It's still this. It's still that. So, but, it's a good time to be a Boise State Bronco, considering the success of the football team, as you talked about, the hockey team, the basketball team, the women's basketball team. It was interesting hearing Leon Rice. He was very subdued last night, watching his numerous interviews on the TV stations. You would think he'd be a little bit more excited. It's been a tough road, overcoming a lot. The team has shown a lot of heart. You've documented that. It was just interesting. I thought they would be a little bit more excited. I thought there would be a little bit more hoopla.
Yeah, well, not a whole lot. I mean, honestly, there really wasn't a whole lot of hoopla. And even the ceremony is pretty much, watching it. You had the players. You had the coach and Leon Rice's kids. Brock was in there and a number of his kids, that were there watching it. But it wasn't really open to the public for a big sort of a ceremony. I guess that's in part because had they not gotten it, would have been very disappointed.
Right.
If it would have been, hey, and maybe the NIT, thanks for coming, everybody.
Well, and I was listening to a couple of sports stations. They've got the NIT, the CBI, and now the CTI or something like that.
I don't know. It gets all very confusing.
It does. I have a question for you. You allegedly watch the pay for play channels like Showtime and HBO, right?
Yes.
Did you hear about what happened Saturday night concerning the man by the name of Robert Durst? They call him the Jinx. Apparently he's been linked or accused of murdering 3 people. HBO did a miniseries on him, and I tried and I tried and I tried to watch it. It was just so darn boring because it was just an interview with Durst and the producer. Well, apparently last night Durst confesses, I did kill all 3 people when he was in the bathroom. Prior to that, Saturday night, he was arrested in New Orleans for a murder that he allegedly or is accused of committing in Los Angeles of his second wife, I believe, or his confidant.
Yeah.
Judge Jeanine was all over this on Fox because she was the prosecutor at the time. But it was fascinating to me, and I said, I can't wait to ask this to Dave Burnett here at 580KIDO, that if you were someone of note, of a dubious distinction, why in the world would you agree to an interview with a producer? By the way, this is the same producer that produced a fictional version of Durst's life. It was based loosely on the Durst story, or maybe accurately, and Durst was obsessed with the guy, so he agreed to two interviews with this producer.
I would have to think, and I did not watch the series. I saw the promos for it, but I did not watch the series. I would have to think that if you had done this, which he apparently has confessed that he has, but if you had done this, for you to go ahead and go on and do an interview and do a documentary about it, you've got to have a huge ego to think, A, you're above the law, and B, you're going to get away with it, or maybe he just wanted to get caught. I don't know.
Well, I mean, this is it opens up in a small place in Texas where apparently he dressed up as a woman, lived in this apartment, and then allegedly killed his neighbor, chopped up his body, and then he said it was in self-defense. So they caught him for that one, and he did a little time for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I thought that was fascinating in how he made bail and then skipped town, and they eventually caught him because he was shoplifting. And this family, I mean, they own interest in One World Trade Center. They own interest in the Bank of America building in New York. They're pretty rich people.
Well, it just shows money doesn't necessarily tie hand in hand with intelligence. I guess.
But, I mean, why would anybody do that? So
I don't know. Pretty bizarre story when you really get right down to it. And now he's been arrested.
Yeah, he has been arrested. Of course, now they're saying that it may not be admissible.
Yeah, only because the whole country saw it.
Apparently. So we've got that going on. We have the shooter, the alleged shooter, arrested in Ferguson. He's a 20-something-year-old guy that apparently told someone that he was being robbed, and he shot the police by mistake. Didn't mean to shoot the police.
Well, that makes it all better then.
There was no intent, see? Well,
what were the cops doing standing around there anyway? Their fault.
Right, and he didn't go to the cops and say, "Officer, I'm being harassed here."
Yeah, you would think with that many law enforcement officials around, if somebody was trying to rob you or whatever, that you could get help right away.
Well, if you trusted the police, and apparently he was one of those folks that kind of came into town, you know?
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What? They were, like, brought in as instigators?
Apparently.
Huh. Must have been the only one, because I don't think there really were any, were there?
You know, him, Eric Holder, the crew.
Well, they
Eric Holder calling people there. Punks. I mean, is that really appropriate?
But again, this will not see the light of day when it comes to media. It'll just be shown that, you know, he was just trying to defend himself and something bad had happened while he was trying to. That's how the media will cover this.
I suppose. I suppose.
Yeah, that's the way that'll go down.
Well, and then people are saying, you know, back to the Hillary Clinton emails, apparently at 580KIDO, that Valerie Jarrett, the best friend of the president and his wife, I don't know how that's possible, apparently Valerie Jarrett is the one leaking these stories and trying to get everybody to invest Hillary Clinton. Now, I thought they were all friends.
They're trying to get her to invest in Hillary, or?
She's the one actually going to the New York Times and leaking things. By the way, James Carville yesterday on, what was it, ABC's This Week, which is a conflict of interest because Carville, I mean, George Stephanopoulos used to work for Carville. How can they be objective? So Carville's going, well, that right-wing publication, New York Times. And I loved how they kind of said, well, it's like the 1990s again with the usual cast of characters. And they had a shot of Carville. Well, let me tell you something, right-wing. Then he went to Carville today. Well, let me tell you something. Yeah, I don't get out much.
So you got locked out, huh?
Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I was... It was just fascinating that Valerie Jarrett and the New York Times hardly right-wing.
No, I would not call them right-wing whatsoever. By the way, you are at Boise State University. Where are you getting set up at this morning?
I'm here with the kids in the Student Union building. What's up, childrens? They're all studying.
No, okay, no, Kevin. No, don't say that to them.
I said, it's time to go back to school. I feel like Rodney Dangerfield. We're back to school.
What's up, children's is not good. That's not hip.
I'm hip. I'm fly. What's up, kids? What's up, children?
That's not good.
No, that's not going to get
me. That's not going to get you there. So if you happen to be going to the Student Union building today, stop by and see Kevin.
Yeah, I can't remember that kid's name who called in from the computer science class.
Hmm. Yeah, a lot smarter than you and I ever will be.
Well, I, you know, I'm not speaking for you, but that wouldn't take much to be smarter than me.
There we go. Now we got that background microphone. Whatever that was with the background's all gone now. That's better.
I think it was the vacuum cleaner going.
Is that what it was?
They're very thorough here.
Might have been. So Kevin will be out and talking about Boise State higher education going on today. Like right now, though, we need to take a check of your traffic now as you come.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And here we are at the Student Union Building, otherwise known as the Sub, promoting our school, securing our future. Do want to thank our friends CapEd. Do want to thank our great friends Chick-fil-A for making this happen. And we'll be talking to educators here at Boise State. Very excited about who we'll talk to today, of course. Excited for the men and women's basketball team. But again, you go to school to get an education. How are they doing here at Boise State? We'll find out about vaccine research, microgravity, a lot of things that perhaps most of us aren't aware of going on here inside Bronco Nation. We'll also talk to some students and take your phone calls about the issues that matter to you here in the Treasure Valley at 580-5436-580-KIDO. Let's get you to work.